everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Today, there ought to be fireworks because...
Robert was going to do it.
Would you shut your hole before someone closes it, butted? I mean with something a lot bigger than this fist.
Hold on for a minute, Robert. Go ahead.
Robert, go ahead.
Robert was going to announce his aunt's going to be on the show.
Well, then I wish someone would tell me before I made to look like the biggest ass backing out of a stable with a big hit with the...
In other words, a horse's ass.
Yes, that's what I'm going for.
Anyway, today it's going to be my aunt. She's going to be debating Larry Grover. She's going to be debating Larry Grover on a Republican Party and how... You know, all that, you know.
No, I don't know. What does that mean?
Hold on. To Larry Grover today with Mavis Leonard debating the origins, the meaning of the Republican Party and what it meant when they eliminated slavery, right, Robert?
Yeah, when they eliminated slavery.
Wait, what is this anyway? I thought I was the one that got to say...
Yeah, but because it's his aunt, for God's sake, Margaret, why don't you back off and give someone a chance to breathe around here?
Oh, my God. Oh, I had no idea that I was crimping everyone's style.
It's okay, Miss Gray.
It's fine, Margaret. Anyway, the essential reason for the debate.
By the way, I love this song. Who is this? This is a beautiful song called Love It.
It is a nice song.
You burped, Mr. Henry.
No, I did not burp.
But it sounded like you burped, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Anyway, welcome to the show. What's
the big deal? Well, that maybe you'd want to edit it out or something. Like you always say, we do some minor editing at the end of the show to help with the production.
Well, that's a very good point, Phil. So would you edit out a burp?
If I burped, yes, I would. But I don't have to edit out a burp because I didn't burp.
Well, you went like this. You went, well, and later on...
No, I didn't go erp. I said later on, I stumbled over a word, which you can't do on this show, because if you stumble over a word, if you mispronounce anything, if you so much as misspeak one consonant, everybody is on you like you know what on you know what.
Stink on shit.
Exactly.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right, so... So that's going to be Larry Grover and Mavis Leonard.
This is a debate about what? This is about the Republican Party. This is so boring, Phil. You really...
Well, Margaret, this is essentially the Republicans are... A lot of these Republicans say, well, hey, we're the party that got rid of slavery, and they're going to talk about what that meant.
Oh, so in other words, it's an attempt to make the Republicans look like a bunch of buffoons and clowns and goons.
No, not try to do that. I wouldn't stand for it.
Oh, you wouldn't stand for it, huh?
What are you talking about, man?
You trying to make the Republican Party look goon-like?
Well, the Republican Party has done a very good job of making itself look goon-like. I'm Margaret Gray.
Why am I applauding that?
Yeah, why are you applauding that?
Because you know it, bud. You know a good thing when you hear it. I'm Margaret Gray. Another thing...
All right, hold on. The whole purpose of the debate, this was organized by who?
Well, my aunt said she wanted to debate Larry Grover.
All right, so Mavis Leonard wanted to debate Larry Grover because she kept hearing that the Republicans are the party that got rid of slavery, and modern-day Republicans are claiming that heritage, and if they recognize what's behind that, maybe they won't.
Well, what do you mean, what's behind it? What are you talking about, some kind of secret thing?
Well, it was a different party. Anyway, we'll see. Larry Grover is going to have his chance to respond. It ought to be a very interesting discussion. We also have coming up Bob Bakian with the traffic, and we, of course, have Harvey Wireman, who is going to be back.
Now, I thought, Phil, every day you say you're done with the old man.
Well, he's going to be back, and he's going to read the news again. Apparently, it's a glass, you know, still got the wrong glasses. So,
what the hell is going on over there? Why does somebody buy this guy some glasses?
He's got the right glasses, but the granddaughter keeps bringing him the wrong glasses.
Well, then why do they rely on a child like that?
They don't. I mean, his daughter's the one that brings the glasses in, but the granddaughter grabs the glasses, replaces them with the bozo glasses. Harvey doesn't realize he's wearing the bozo glasses till he can't read right. Then he goes and tells his daughter, who goes and gets the right glasses. The right glasses are put on the desk. As Harvey turns to do something like tie his shoe or adjust his tie or whatever, the little tiny grandchild grabs those, puts the big bozo glasses.
Wait just a second. Are you trying to tell me this grandchild is purposefully trying to undermine her grandfather? Why, that's the most ludicrous thing. You know, what are you people looking at me for?
What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
wait a minute, why are you guys looking at me like I'm some kind of a weird ass, like I belong in a zoo? Or maybe someone ought to be taking pictures of me so that future generations will realize, yes, once upon a time, it did live. Something like that.
All right, take it easy, General. All we're saying is, this is a granddaughter that he loves very much, and it's not an unusual thing.
No, wait. It's not unusual to love a granddaughter. It's certainly unusual to let the kid, excuse me for saying this, fuck you up every morning.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what the kid's doing.
All right. Well, I don't think that's what's happening.
Well, then now you're talking my language, friend.
What do you mean, talking his language?
What's that?
What do you mean, talking his language?
It's a figure of speech, bud. Take it easy.
It means now he understands the language I'm... Forget it.
Yeah, see, he's both speaking the English.
That don't mean that, man. It means he's talking his language, man. I understand. So you know where I'm coming from. You know where I'm coming from.
Then I know where you're going.
Yeah, you know where I'm going.
You guys knock it off. So, yeah, that's where it's at. And,
because you know where you've been.
Look, let's not do that joke again, okay? I think we've already done that. I think of the old jokes file, we've pulled that one out a few times. If you'll pardon the expression, pulling it out. All right, so anyway, we do have Bob Beacon with traffic. We'll have Harvey Wireman with the news break. And I would like to mention that today I'll be in studio recording with Will Sasso.
Oh, that's fantastic. Will Sasso's, he's amazing.
Yeah, Will Sasso.
Well, that was the kid that was on the Three Stooges, right?
Yeah. Will's done a lot of stuff, man. He's a great, great comic, a great comic actor, and funny as hell, all kinds of things he's been involved in, College Humor stuff, Funny or Die stuff, but beyond that, he was huge with Vine for a long time. He's been in movies, was in Drop Dead Gorgeous, was on Mad TV for 5 seasons, and one of the most inventive character guys that I've ever seen in my life. Also, we'll be with Creed Bratton from The Office.
Oh, now Creed Bratton is a very interesting man, because Creed Bratton at one time was in a rock and roll group, Bud, okay?
Yeah, what about it?
Well,
you talk about an actor being in a rock and roll group?
Yes, I am. He was in a group called The Grassroots, and they did a song called Live for Today, which is one of my all-time favorite. It goes, sha-la-la-la-la, live for two, hey, hey, hey. You know the song, Phil?
Yeah, I remember it.
Well, you don't seem to be very enthusiastic about it.
It was a good song. Don't start getting me to start talking about music. And we're talking to Creed today because of the fact that he is a funny cat, a great improv actor, and was on The Office and was fantastic doing that. And don't you dare make me say something bad.
So you didn't like The Grassroots?
I didn't say that, did I? I like the As a matter of fact, I did like The Grassroots. There was a song they did that I loved.
Which one was that?
Temptation Eyes.
What?
Well, you never even heard of a man, so forget it. The Grassroots are an old-time band, and Creed was only in the band, I believe he was only in the band for 2 years, to be perfectly honest with you, and then I think...
So he left the band before they started doing good music, is that it?
Hey, Margaret.
Oh, my God, he clenched his fist.
Yeah, I did see that.
I did not clench my fist. So anyway, that will be... today we'll be in studio, and I'll report on how all of that went. It ought to be a lot of fun, because these guys... What in the...
I asked him. This is it right here. Hold on.
Margaret.
No, hold on. Here it is. I love this. This is The Grassroots. And think of all the things I do. Do-do-do-do. See this song?
Yes, I know this song.
What the hell is this? You know, I heard some of this music when I was in the NAM. Pissed me off, too. Sounded like some of that hippie stuff with the grass. You know, the grass. You know what they mean by grass, don't you? They're talking about
that's about marijuana.
Yes, right there. Give the man a cigar. That was about the marijuana and the thing that...
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I love this. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, live for today and don't worry. Listen to this.
About?
Oh, I love how he does the Elvis turn here.
Yeah, okay. Will you turn it off, please?
Oh, my God, Phil.
It's a nice song. Okay. So anyway, that's the great... That's a whole big thing there for Creed Bratton. And then Taylor Williamson, fantastically funny stand-up comic, is also going to join us today in the studio. And we'll tell you, that'll be in a couple of weeks when that drops.
Now, what do I say drop? What's dropping today?
Taylor, wouldn't you like to know what's dropping today?
Got it. Don't you ever make me into the laughing stock that you've made that poor woman into. You're not making me into a solid gold boob the way you did Ms. Gray.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, General.
Well, all right, but I would.
He's made me into a solid gold boob. Is that what you're saying? Because I can turn this garbage up.
I am, just to drown out the sound of you people. All right, folks.
You people, how racist. Baby, I've got to have you beside me. Give me some loving.
All right. Oh, God, Phil. Hey, let's go to Bob Bacon with the traffic, Bob.
Well, I tell you something, I love that guy, that grassroots out there. La, 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 my proud of the day. La, 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 I flop for the day. Then don't fly me, but well, that was a great song back in the day with Top Hat. All right, let's go down here to the 15th freeway at 5 and 5. I'm looking at these people out here. They got that clap, and the clap is on there. Everybody out there with a clap, if you got the clap and you're going to want to find out what to do about the clap, get out there and stick in. There's a stick pin that you can stick in that chip out. If you're up there on the 405 at 3:15 today, things are 12:07. That's right. Everything's going to be smooth. That pomade, you can pomade your hair, hair straightener, maybe even conk it out too. It's a fantastic and wonderful opportunity. Hey, it's Bob, Eddie, and Dominic. And good morning here from San Marino, California. This is Harvey Wireman, and now it's the time for the Harvey Wireman news. Now, all right, here it is. Here it is. I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it.
Uh-huh.
What's uh-huh mean?
Harvey, you know, I'm asking you.
You know, Phil, you don't run the ship. I do. All right, here we go. Must the Apple just toss their old Kel Pahono, Pahonies? What's a Kel Pahoney?
Cell phone.
Oh, all right. Hold on. Give me those other glasses. These are the bozos.
Why did you?
Phil, would you just stop?
Are those bozos?
No, these are the glasses that Pluto wore. Remember when we went to Disneyland?
Yeah, it is. It's Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, it's Knott's Berry Farm. Okay, here. Thank you, honey. Most people just tossed their old Kel Pahonies in the junk dryer. Not Lindsay Graham. The South Carolina Senator and got presidential candidate responded.
GOP, not GOP.
What's that?
It's GOP. It's not. He's not the GOP.
I don't. Oh, okay. Responded witness day to Donald Trump giving out his personal Pahane number with a dramatic 1-minute video. That sounds almost like porn.
What does?
A video, you know? Isn't that the thing you clean your ass off with?
That's a... Oh, forgot. That's a bidet.
Oh, well, I don't know.
So it's a 1-minute video that he was just, you know...
I can't hear you for that goddamn music, okay? Although I do need the music.
I understand. Turn it down, will you?
Yeah, turn it down. Ah, that's much better. Set to classical...
Turn it down!
Oh, set to classical music... Graham blends Beats, drops, Cahops, and Tahoes, and old mobile to Diate.
An old mobile to death.
All right, Phil, you know, an old mobile to death. You sound like some old man with a cob wedged who's just, he's so just upset with how there's no pound cake to dunk. Just like I said yesterday.
Yee!
You know, Phil, I...
Okay, so anyway, Lindsey Graham beat this cell phone to death. So what did you think about that?
Well, I'm going to finish reading this. It says here that he sarehids it in a blender. He drops it off a roof. You get the idea. I'll tell you.
The idea.
Well, that's not what it says here. It says idea.
That's the word.
That's right, honey. Man on the radio, Mr. Henry, is a boob and a half. See, that's what my granddaughter thinks of you.
Thank you very much for teaching her that.
I don't teach my granddaughter those filthy words. She called you a boob extraordinaire. Hey, where's all the music?
I've got to get that music back up there, bud, because it's part of his contract. Otherwise, he flips his lid.
I don't need it. It sounds more news-like.
So what do you think about Lindsey Graham shredding that phone or whatever he did?
Who's that?
It's Margaret. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, Margaret. Sorry.
Margaret Gray, what do you think?
Well, let me tell you something. Donald Trahoomp is...
Who is Donald Trahoomp?
Donald... What's the guy's name?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump
That guy is a joke. Everyone knows he's a joke. He's got the weird wig. He's got that flipped out lifestyle with the four or five or six broads that he's living with. I don't know what it. And then the.
Well, I don't know that he's living with the four or five or six women.
Yeah, he's got the. What's the one? Maple Lady or Maple.
Marla Maples, a girlfriend, okay? It's a girlfriend.
Well, ain't it a wife?
I don't know. I don't care, man. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, you got to look at these things because Donald Trump.
Donald Trump for the 18th time. God!
You know something? I don't know how it is that America ever gets anywhere militarily with these little nervous ninnies like you, General Shaw, in charge. Wetting your pants.
Oh, you want to see a guy wet his pants? Come on over, friend.
What does that mean?
Okay, now, so wrapping up about Donald Trump and Lindsey Graham, what do you think?
Boy, you can't talk too good. Don't you read too good? I said it was Lindsey Graham, and he goes, Lindsey Graham.
What do you think?
Well, what I think is that Graham, look, Trump is leading in the Republican race. So, you know, the GOP, they ain't nobody in that party anyway. There's only metal midgets, so it doesn't matter who's, I don't know. What I'm dealing with, I can't even read things right, asking me my opinion. I'm Harvey Weierman, and I got to get going, Phil. I'm sorry I wasn't more help.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Harvey.
Oh, here, he's going to bitch about me after he hangs up.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, you said you didn't want to have that on, that segment on.
Yeah, well, I've been outvoted. I've been outmuscled. I've been out, everybody, you know, David, everybody has told me that, no, you got to keep Harvey on because he likes doing it and he's real good at it. And that includes you.
I said people like to hear his point of view.
Well, what point of view would that guy have on that Lindsey Graham and Donald Trump?
Dad said it doesn't matter anymore.
Well, you know, he may be right. I mean, that's why we're going to have on the debate between Larry Grover and... Mavis Leonard, I don't know. So we will, thank you very much for that, Harvey. We'll have Mavis, we'll have Larry Grover on in just a minute or so here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Again, a reminder that today the Science of the Funny drops with Matt Besser and Horatio Sanz.
Now, wait. You said you were going in to talk to Will Sasso.
Yeah, that's who we're going to be recording, and I'm probably confusing people. Today, we are going to have... on the show, we're going to be talking to those guys, but what's dropping today, what in other words is going to be available for all of you fine people out there to listen to, is the Science of the Funny with Matt Besser, Horatio Sanz, and David Nuzzi Nussbaum. All right.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Be right back after these very important, very, very stirring... Oh, I don't know.
Messages.
Hey, Bud Dickman here. You want to be on an email list? Well, if you are, you're going to get all kinds of updates. Why, today, you can go and listen to Phil Hendry doing a variety of different voices and different characterizations and different voices too, on a
it's like a voiceover reel, right?
Yeah, on a voiceover reel. Anyway, you get the email blast, you get all that information. So go to our website, our homepage, and you can see where you can sign up and you can do it. And just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Fantastic, bud.
Oh, PhilHendryShow.com is the address.
But what does it mean? You can do it, and you can do it.
Never mind, okay?
Yeah, man, you can do it, all right. I'll do it better than you.
All right, take it easy. Welcome back to the show.
Now, you had an email yesterday. You were talking about this, the pre-show, and I want people to understand that I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was, in its own way, I don't know, it was stirring, what was it?
What?
I don't know. I'm looking at the phone to see when are they calling in.
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes.
I'm trying to stretch.
We don't need you to stretch, okay?
Well, is David going to talk on?
Yeah, David Hall wanted to call about this too.
David Hall wants to talk about what?
Does David Hall want to call and talk about the when you did you blew the guy off?
Is this David here? David, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, fellas. And I'm sorry I didn't mean to bother you during the show, but. I heard that you had gotten some interest from a radio consultant to be interviewed for a feature in a newsletter, right?
Yes, that's true.
All right, well, why didn't you do it?
Because I'm not in radio anymore, okay?
Oh, no, don't quibble, Phil. I mean, they want to know what a radio personality, what a successful creative radio personality does.
Well, the questions that they had for me were completely irrelevant, And I don't know what good I can possibly... Radio is in very serious trouble, and these questions they were asking me seem to indicate that the people that are going to somehow save radio are going to be the radio personalities.
Well, I thought you believed that.
I at one time I believed it, but you're going to have to get people in there. I can't hear what I'm saying, man. You're in the middle of that mall.
Well, I can hear you fine. Why are you yelling?
Why are you yelling?
Because I'm in the middle of a mall. Okay, what joke?
I'll talk at this level, okay?
What?
I'll talk at this level, okay?
I can't hear you. All I want you to do is to make sure that you do that interview.
No, I'm not going to.
I can hear that. You said no, right?
Yeah.
Why did you say that?
Okay, David, why don't you listen on the iPhone or whatever you listen to on iTunes. Just listen to us, over the air, because I can't do this right now.
All right, but I'm just telling you, this is a great opportunity for you to give some great advice to young radio personalities who can take it and still get fired. I'm just kidding around, Phil. I just...
Thank you. Boy, what an asshole.
Well, that's... Now, that is what you're talking about, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly right. But I got this email from this kid, nice guy, from a consulting company, and he asked me. He said, "Mr. Ernie, would you be willing to be interviewed in this for our podcast, for our newsletter, I should say?" And I said, "Sure, yeah, you know." Well, he sent me these questions, which is how they do it a lot. You know, they'll send you questions and you answer them. And I saw these questions were really just beside the point.
But what they say?
Well, they're asking me stuff like. Really, I got to be honest with you. Do you ever feel bad about fooling people doing the character voices? I mean, are they really stuck asking questions like that? I mean, is that where they're still at? That's like a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old question. And this is a radio consulting company.
Now, hold on for a minute, Phil. You're going to get a lot of these people who are very important pissed off at you.
What, like they're not already, man, like it matters? Are you kidding me? They probably got to worry about that, whether or not I'm pissed off at them. Here's the thing. I wish them all well, but that's an industry that has destroyed itself because it did not have any interest in. You know, we're doing this show, The Science of the Funny, and it's a podcast about how things are created in theater, in film, on stage when it comes to comedy. And we're talking about UCB. We're talking about IO, the Improv Olympics, you know.
There's an awful lot of wonderful, wonderful places for young artists to develop. Now, what do they do in radio? Where's the school they go to?
There is none.
I beg your pardon?
There is none.
Well, you talk about it. I mean, it got to be like they have, don't they have like the Upright Citizen, Upright Radio Brigade or something?
Yeah, what about that?
No, there's nothing. Radio has no schools. Radio has no culture. Radio has no culture for creating art. There's no culture for creating great radio. There's just, here's a guy, he sent me these questions, and he said to me, given how one-dimensional talk radio is, what can be done to save it? You understand that this guy's asking me a question like that about 5 or 6 years too late, if not 10 or 15 years too late? And he's asking me, what can be asking me? You know, if you want to ask me that question and you really want a serious answer, you should have paid me to be like a general manager or a program director.
Well, a lot of people think you're just skirting.
Yes, you're skirting the answer because you want to. It sounds mercenary.
Yeah, why don't you make me some answers, Henry, and quit money grubbing?
I'm not money grubbing. Let me tell you something. If they want answers as to how to save a format, they don't care how to save the format. They've gone over to sports radio and talk radio is dead. They didn't know how to save it. They don't know how to save it. Now this guy's asking me this question, right?
Well, it can be argued, Phil, that this is a radio consultant, you know?
I'm telling you right now, it was this guy's a radio consultant, and he's asking a guy that's no longer in the business. I do a digital show to an audience that accesses the show digitally, okay? I'm involved in podcasting. I'm really got one foot now in live comedy and doing things like that. I mean, I'm so far removed from that world, and I'm not saying that I don't like it or that I didn't appreciate it, but man, these questions they're asking me are like
what a dumb question they ask.
I don't say they were dumb questions.
They were pretty dumb. What can we do to save? If I can pull the email up.
Well, why don't you do that? Why don't you take a break and pull up the email, and meanwhile, we'll get,
Mavis Leonard.
We'll get Mavis Leonard.
Yeah, that's my aunt.
I know it's your aunt. And Larry Grover.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. I don't know whether we're going to actually read from any email that I got, but we do have Larry Grover and Mavis Leonard, and they'll be talking about They'll be debating the Republican Party. This is way too heavy for me, you know.
Way too heavy. It's way too early for me, too. What the hell is that?
Somebody let one go.
Don't give me that fart humor. Not now. Not with a woman like Izzy. Iggy Azalea with an ass her size. Her ass is her size.
Yeah?
Forget it. I ain't worried about shit.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Say, today will be the science of the funny dropping with Horatio Sanz, Matt Besser, and David Nuzzy Nuzbaum. That's today. Podcast one. You can also access it by way of a link on our own website. Just look under free stuff, science of the funny, the science of the funny. You'll check it out there.
This is this Iggy Azalea broad, right?
Yes. I don't know where this thing is, man.
Well, you go under email, right?
I don't know. I only see your mail. But see, what happened was, is I answered the guy's question. I said to him, I said, you know, I'm really sorry, but I can't really. Here it is. Oh, man. It's a direct reply. Hey, Phil, here are those interview questions. All right, here they are. What led you to start incorporating character voices into your show? Do you realize that there's no radio left where that does anything like I do? It's all either sports talk. They've got a couple of morning shows that are heavy into news. All right-wing dog shit radio. And I'm not saying because right-wingers are dog. I'm just saying it's all political, you know? It's all just strident, hammering home one political point of view. And that does not make for a very entertaining environment. So now this guy's asking, what led you to start incorporating character voices into your show? I mean,
well, what's the answer?
It was the voice that I had. It was what I wanted to do. It was fun.
All right. Well, you should tell him that.
No, what am I going to do, man? I'm going to answer. Look at all this shit. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Look, Phil, why don't you watch the language, huh?
Why are you upset?
Because you wanted me to bring this up, didn't you?
I wanted you to bring it up because we wanted to know what the questions were, what your answers were to them, and why you felt strongly about this.
Because it's irrelevant. What led you to start incorporating character voices into your show? That should have asked me a question like, are there other shows out there that they're encouraging to have character voices in? Is there some sort of a renaissance now of talk radio where they want to actually be entertaining? Is that what's going on? Or is this guy was he just sent on some mission by the people that run this consulting firm? Go ahead and interview some guy and ask a bunch of bullshit questions that we could put on the back page of the newsletter, and then we filled it out.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. They don't care.
That's what I think. Some of your listeners were in on the joke that you were playing all the characters. Others were fooled and legitimately believed the voices they heard on the show are real people. Did you ever feel bad for fooling part of the audience? Oh, my God. I can't even begin to tell you what a dumb question that is.
Well, look, Phil, the kid doesn't know what he's doing.
Maybe they ought to get somebody that does know what they're doing. You know how many times I've answered that question? And that comes from a pure place of ignorance when it comes to how audiences rated. What kind of audience you have, what kind of demographics. Did you ever feel bad?
Well, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, well, there were a couple of times, but that's got nothing to do with anything. Here's one. You said that having the characters to convey compelling, outrageous points of view was a unique advantage. Are there other ways to get those points across on the radio when not everyone can do character voices? Oh, man. Many of your characters were controversial. Was there ever one that went too far? Look at all this shit about going too far. Here is a medium, radio, that is dead. I mean dead. Dead because the people that run the medium killed it because they didn't have the guts or the creativity to really begin to incorporate compelling content because they were frightened of this, frightened of that, because they had no idea what to do with talk radio. They drove it right into the ocean, man. I mean, it became this strident political thing. Now they're sending out these questionnaires that have nothing to do with anything. So I'm not going to bore people with this.
No, read another one.
Another question.
Yes, just to get the idea of how, if you say this guy's brain dead.
No, I'm not saying he's brain dead. No, please. I think he was told by his guys, just go ahead and get an interview so we can, like I say, fill out the newsletter. Most of talk radio is fairly one-dimensional. Why do you feel there isn't more creativity in the format today? Oh, my God, is he kidding?
Well, Phil, this is what you talk about.
Yeah, but I mean, he's asking me that. This is a guy that's got a far better view of what it is because he works for a radio consultant. Why isn't there more creativity in the format today? Because the station managers, the company executives, the program directors, the people that run the business from the very tops, the very CEO all the way down, murdered it. They don't want any creativity. They don't understand creativity. They aren't smart enough to get it. They hate it. As far as they're concerned, the whole idea of entertainment is anathema. These are guys that are out doing whatever they're doing, but to actually empower radio talent with creativity and have these shows that may be something more than a guy that's just bagging on Obama 24/7, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. Now this guy's asking me. I should have sent back the letter saying, if you'd like to know answers to these questions, please write a cashier's check for $100,000. Now, come on, Henry. These guys are real-life consultants. Well, if they're real-life consultants, they can come up with the answers themselves.
It isn't that they don't have the answers. It's that they want to know from the standpoint of a modern radio personality, what you do.
From the standpoint of a modern radio personality, I ain't in radio anymore.
Damn, Mr. Larry's not even doing radio.
Yeah, he's doing digital or digital.
What do you mean, digital?
Digital.
Yeah.
Digital? Oh, this is...
All right, So anyway, I wrote the guy a letter, and I said, you know what, thank you very much. I misunderstood. I thought that... I thought I understood what you wanted me to do, but I think that that you would be better off. You know, I'm not in radio anymore is what I said to the guy. It's basically what I put it off on that.
Well, you chickened out, huh? So here you are on the radio telling everybody what a load of old bollocks it is and old rubbish. And meanwhile, you didn't have the guts.
Jesus. Oh, come on, General. Why don't you give it a rest?
Hey, look, man, it ain't my business. But if you were all these opinions about how bad radio is, you had a chance to really rip this guy an ass.
I'm not going to rip some dude who's an underling. This dude's name is Mike. He says he's a consultant with this company. And if this guy is really, truly a radio consultant, the business is worse off than I thought. If these are his questions, if either he thinks I'm a moron and he just thought he'd mess with me and ask me a bunch of stupid questions, or he doesn't really know the answer to these questions. Here's one. Of all the characters you've incorporated in your shows over the years, is there a favorite? I don't know how many times I've been asked that question by people who are who are representing like listeners, but I've never answered that question when it comes to a radio consultant talking about the business. What should the radio industry be focused on to shore up its position in the media landscape for years to come? Radio right now, let me answer that. What should the radio industry be focused on? What you should have been focused on 15 years ago, firing every single radio consultant and program director that you have, finding people that know how to really develop creative content, and you probably have to look for that in the actual ranks of radio talent themselves. Fire all the general managers, okay? In other words, start all over again, man, because what you have to do is you've got to get a completely different mindset. You have to have a mindset like they have in film or television, which is we really like talent, we want to develop talent, we think that... it's a very, very important thing, and you're going to need people that are rooted in the creative end of things. You don't have that. You've got a culture that was born and raised in the sales department, and that's all they know, all they care about. They don't like talent. I just got done. I told you, when I worked for this guy up in Oregon, that guy hates talent. Can't stand him.
Wait a minute, Henry. You've got to get in a big... Let's
move on, all right?
No, I'm just telling you, as far as I'm concerned, there have been, any number of different kinds of people that need... What are you doing?
Thank you very much, Phil. This is Margaret Gray. I'm taking over the program. We'll be right back. We have a debate between Mavis Leonard.
Wait a second.
Oh, wait. We have a debate with Mavis Leonard.
Give me the... Bert.
We'll be right back.
I may not always love you.
All right, we're back. Now, I have...
All right, I get the idea. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Be right back.
Yes, this is Bud Dickman, ladies and gentlemen. You know, what would be a really nice thing to do is to get a piece of merchandise for the girl in your life. Get her the Rudy Canoza, your Tam lingerie, pink t-shirt, and Elixol bitchin'.
Shut up, man. Trying to make fun of it. Anyway, this is Robert Leonard. Go get the t-shirt. Get the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. Get a Phil Henry Show t-shirt. Get a Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirt. Man, you look real good for the summer months there. It's in the online store at philhenryshow.com, baby.
Look all pretty in your pink t-shirt.
I told that Bud Dickman is an ass.
What?
All right, hold on. We got Mavis is bleeding through there. Mavis Leonard joining us along with Larry Grover on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we discuss here something I think is kind of interesting, and that is this... Well, the notion of the Republican Party these days is embracing its slave-abolishing roots, Larry, and that's a good thing, right?
Phil, that is absolutely a good thing. The Republican Party should embrace its slave-abolishing roots and should point out the fact that it was the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party in the 1860s, that was the slave-owning party. And that was the party that encouraged slave owning, and that was the party that wanted the states of the South to secede. It was the Republican Party that came along in the person of the greatest president that ever lived, Abraham Lincoln, and saved this country. Now, you know, Ms. Leonard, with all great respect to you, and I know that you are a member of the community, the African-American community of long standing, but I believe that you have it all wrong, and I think that the African people... and the African American people should.
Yeah, they're Americans.
I know that, Phil. Pardon me, I misspoke. Should be Republicans and not Democrats.
All right, Mavis.
Phil, thank you. I'm very happy. I'm very proud to be on our program today. Thank you, Mr. Grover, and also my very best to your mother, Gloria.
I will send her your best wishes.
Yeah, Phil, how you doing? I'm fine. Sorry. I think you need to understand something, Mr. Grover, that while the Republican Party was indeed the party that got rid of slavery, they did it from a very strong Federalist point of view. The Republican Party was very much a Federalist party, and they had a president that believed in the power of the federal government, believed in the power of the presidency, and believed in the power of the Constitution. The Republican Party in the 1860s decided that the federal government and the Constitution was more powerful and had legal control over the state. In other words, federal supremacy. That was the Republican Party that fought for the rights of slaves. They believed in federal supremacy. They did not believe in states' rights. Are you telling me that's the same Republican Party today?
Oh, there's a good point.
Excuse me, Mr. Oh, there's a good point. You know, I'm trying to...
Larry, don't get all crazy.
I'm trying to... I was holding my own, and then Mavis came in, said, and I was going to jump right in, and there's Henry with... That's a good point. And now I'm totally...
Well, what did it do? Knock the wind out of your sails?
It stutter-stepped me, yeah. I did a bit of a stutter-step, then I got to...
You want me to go back? I'll run at it again.
If you wouldn't mind.
All right.
What do you mean, run at it again?
Just hold on for a minute, will you?
Yeah, Mom's going to run at it again.
I'd appreciate it.
And, all right, so the Republican Party is a party that had a very strong Federalist president. He believed in the power of the federal government, and Abraham Lincoln decided to use the power of the federal government to smash the states that decided to secede and decided to enslave people, meaning that there was federal supremacy. That was the Republican Party of the 1860s. Now, I'd love to meet a Republican today that believes in that. Most Republicans only know the name Abraham Lincoln. They have no idea what he stood for.
All right. Thank you very much, Phil, and everyone, and thank you, Mavis. This is Larry Grover, and here's what I think about that. Abraham Lincoln was the greatest president in the history of the world. And Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. I think we need to concentrate on that. The slaves were slaves, and then they were freed. Why? Because of Abraham Lincoln and the Republican Party, and they fought to free the slaves. That's the party that I belong to. That's the party I'm a very proud member of. And the Democrats wanted to hold on to the slaves.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
Mavis?
All right, I'll just go back to my original point, if I could. While I recognize that the slaves were freed by the Republican Party, the Republican Party that freed the slaves was a Republican Party that believed in federal supremacy, that believed in the power of the president, and that, again, came in and smashed all states that decided to go against the Constitution of the United States. So that is not the Republican Party of today. The Republican Party of today is a states' rights party. The Republican Party of today is constantly criticizing the power of the presidency, especially this president. The Republican Party of today wants the state to control gay marriage. They want them to control even civil rights. They want them to control. They want the like Rick Perry down there.
No. Hold on for a minute.
Wait. We said there'd be no interrupting.
God damn it.
Like that Rick Perry down there. He is running around saying he's going to succeed, you know.
He's going to succeed. I'm sorry.
We said not to interrupt.
Said you can't interrupt me.
All right.
And so you can say you're a Republican, but I'll ask you, I guess if you are a Republican, you love Abraham Lincoln, right?
Of course I do.
All right, then you believe that the President of the United States has the power to exert federal will over the state.
Is that your question?
That's my question, yes.
All right. You know, first of all, in my view, I can tell you this. Hold on for a minute. Oh, shit.
Well, what's going on now?
I got pulled over. Hold on for a minute.
Can't you hear me?
I'm sorry, sir. I have no idea what you... What happened there?
Oh, he's got speed.
I'm not speeding away. I didn't think I was speeding. Get a ticket. God.
Are you going to be all right?
Fine.
Sam Stanley?
Do I have a family? A single parent family?
Yeah.
What business is it of yours? Just write me the ticket, will you, cop?
Bill Steeler.
Yeah, you too and your mama.
Oh, yeah.
God damn, man. I'm awfully sorry, Phil. I didn't know shit.
All right, you have a ticket you got to deal with?
Yeah.
All right, Larry, we've run out of time here for this debate.
Well, what do you mean you ran out of time for the debate? Just so she could kick my ass. That's why you brought her on.
Larry, I don't want to say anything, but I think that your ass is very kickable.
What do you mean my ass is kickable?
On this particular topic. On this particular public.
Public?
I mean topic. You know something, Mavis? I tried to tell him that. He won't listen. Larry, your ass was kickable.
Mother, would you mind, please? Just once in your life, butting the hell out of my life. Now,
like a man talk to his mother like that. That's not right.
Your mommy don't like that.
I don't care. Look at Mavis. Do you agree that Abraham Lincoln was great?
I think Abraham Lincoln was a wonderful president. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Then how can you say that the Republicans...
I'm saying the Republicans that freed the slaves are not the same Republican Party. That was a Federalist Party then, and a Republican today is a states' rights party. Now go suck on that. Because I'll tell you something right now. I have more... If that's goddamn... I got to pull over now.
What's going on?
Get in.
I don't understand a word you're saying, you ugly son of a bitch.
Got speed?
Fuck off.
Yeah. You have been made.
I have in all my days. I'd rather be in the South with a Ku Klux Klan and all those racist cops they had down there and get pulled over by them than hear that screeching, squealing, mouth siren cop. He freaks me way out, you know?
Yeah, that guy is way, way out there. I don't know what his problem is. It probably has something to do with the fact that he's always... I don't know what he was doing.
I think he's up there just checking his book.
You know, that cop, do we know what agency that is?
I think it's the Highway Patrol.
The Highway Patrol. Did you see what it was, Mavis?
I don't know. I'm in L.A. City. Might have been L.A. for all I know.
But what if it's two different cops?
Well, find out who it... Next time you guys get pulled over, and I hope it isn't very soon, get a... get some kind of a... are they gone?
Yeah, we lost them.
Get some... Now, they back there?
Yeah, Bob, see that.
That's my opinion, too, but I think we lost Bill Henry.
Hey, Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Right here, you guys.
No, he's gone. I just think that Abraham Lincoln was the best president.
I didn't say he wasn't the best president. We're not on the air anymore, though.
I can hear you guys. You are on the air now.
I guess we just should hang up.
Yeah, okay, see you later.
Bye. Right.
Why, I'll tell you something, Phil. It's really gonna hurt when you're telling people, hi, I'm here, and they couldn't care less.
They couldn't hear me, man. They couldn't hear me. That's about as bizarre a debate as I've ever heard in my life. But at least it got us off the topic of radio and, you know, what can be done and what can't be done to save the day. If ever I have to hear that again, I swear to God. What the fuck is... What is going on, anyway?
Oh, let's find out there. I think Mavis and Larry... You guys hear us there?
That's right. I told him.
I did too.
All right. So if you have see that, I'd love to know.
Well, it's 100% wheat.
Hey, you guys. You guys.
And what store is it?
Whole Foods. And they've got...
What is going on?
I think it sounds like they're not disconnected from our line.
Well, we have, don't we have a regular phone line?
No, we do have a regular phone line, but we also are hooked up by way of a digital.
It ain't digital, it's digital.
Oh, sorry.
We got a regular phone line, but it's also one by way of, so we can't disconnect?
Sometimes it doesn't disconnect.
All right, we'll be back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com, and maybe we'll have disconnected by then. Jesus.
Famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Tomorrow night on Friday night, it's the Friday night chat. It's going to be a video chat as Mr. Hendry returns to the video studio with Tales of Terror, Tales of Woe. That's tomorrow night. The BSP only chat starts at 9 o'clock on 9 o'clock on Friday night Pacific time. So be sure you're crawling all over that Friday night chat for the BSP only. At philhendryshow.com. At philhendryshow.com. Might put on your t-shirts or put on a funny-looking hat or something. Maybe a Captain Video thing. I don't know what, you know. But you can certainly make yourself a little bit more presentable than you did last time.
Why do they have to do any of that stuff? They're not in the video. I am.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com here from the El Pacifico in Southern California. So, yeah, that was the gist of that, man. It was a goofy, goofy, kooky kind of a thing. Okay.
That's all you want to say about the radio consulting thing?
Well, yeah, and...
This is the first time you've opened up about that on the air. I know you've done a lot of that on the pre-show. So I do appreciate it. By the same token, when the fallout finally occurs, Phil, and the waste... You know, from the combined corporate waste, from the combined corporate blankety-blank finally showers down on you. I don't want to be anywhere near, because I think the full force of that will annihilate you and every thought of you, hence or past. I'm Margaret Gray.
That was beautiful, Margaret.
Yeah, that was great, Margaret. Thanks a lot for that.
Oh, what's your problem?
Oh, you know, I basically, yeah, Phil, lots of guts, way to do it, but when there's not going to be any repercussions, you know, there's...
What makes you think that, Missouri?
What do you mean, what makes me think that? There ain't going to be any repercussions because I'm not in radio anymore, man. I'm not in the radio business anymore. There's nothing they can say, nothing they can do, all right? It's done. It's over. It's finito.
Well, there you go, folks. It's done. It's Phil Hendry talking about his career.
You guys are real funny today, man, I'll tell you that.
Phil, why don't you lighten up, for God's sake? This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. You've been listening. Oh, wait a minute. The world famous Phil, I'm sorry, I thought I was being pulled over. The world famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on podcast, on Siempre, yes, on podcast one.
Oh, that was great. Let me do it.
No.
Phil Hendry on podcast one. I, Phil Hendry.
Good for you.